She said to turn the speaker button on and start talking. I talk or she talks. Say something, God's sake.
Hello, this is old Sush Push and Aunt Sylvia and Dum Dum and me too. The other day we had our Christmas program at church. We had a real great time. There were about 60 people there. And the little boys and girls up to about 6 years old were on first. And they said a few words and sang some carols, of course, Away in a Manger. And then my boys were up there. I have six boys in my class, and each one said a poem. And then each teacher took turns with their class up to the bigger boys and girls. And Mirror Mirror said a poem. And then I told the flannel graph story about Jesus and the manger and the shepherds and the wise men. And afterward, we all went in the other room and had refreshments. We had lots of cookies and candy and punch. And Mirror Mirror made some super-duper snazzy cuckoo punch. And it had orange juice and lemon juice and pineapple juice and Sprite and 7-Up and mashed-up bananas. And most of the people liked it, but some of the little kids didn't like it. In fact, one little boy says, "Oh, I've got a tummy ache. It's all that mixed up stuff and that punch that Mrs. Lucas made." Oh, we've got a bunch of snow here. It's about 6 or 7 or 8 inches deep. And we shovel it out and the wind blows up and shovels all the snow back where we shovel it out again. And And Heidi loves the snow, but she's naughty and went out in the road again today, and so I bawled her out, and she's hiding under the couch right now.
When you say something, it's got it.
Yeah, it's got it all right. Here's Pappy back again, Pappy.
Oh, I give up. This damn thing's too fancy.
Now, there I stopped it. Now, you run back.
Does that stop now?
Yeah, only when it's...
Sometimes this conversation between these two guys, this Pappy and this Sylvia, they're really worth recording.
What do you do now? How do you stop the thing? Press the stop and then the reverse and wait a minute. Whoops, here we go. I turned it off. I'm not stupid. Whoops.
You dear ones, here it is, 11 o'clock in the morning. And I've been up since 8 and had my breakfast and swept off the snow off the front porch. And now at 11 o'clock, Pappy's running around with a cup of coffee in his hand and as cold as ice water. And his cigarette's half smoked and the ashes is going to fall off and burn up the house before you ever get here next summer. But you should see the snow. And if we had a snowmobile and we had 5 grandchildren out here from Michigan, they could have the time of their life.
Hello, this is Sush again. We have a... don't laugh, I'm trying to talk. We have a little pine tree outside our kitchen window. It's about, 6.5 feet tall. I can just reach the top of it without a ladder. And I've trimmed it last year, and I'm going to trim it again this year. And yesterday morning was just like spring. It got up to about 50. It was just gorgeous. I thought, now's the time to go out and trim the little tree outside. And I put a star on it and some tinsel. I was putting some plastic ornaments on. And a big old cloud came by and started getting colder and colder. And the temperature dropped about 10 degrees in half an hour. And it started snowing. So I finally came in. And it snowed so much last night. I woke up and the snow had trimmed the tree. It was just beautiful, all covered with snow. Pappy's been working on a sign for outside our front fence post, and it says antiques and what's the other one?
Cabinet work.
Which
you couldn't spell or say.
And he's going to put a sign up there, gifts too, but he hasn't got it out yet because a storm hit. Talking about storms hitting, we've got a telephone post out front of our house with the line coming up to the house. And about a month ago, we had a big old windstorm. And the wind blew so hard that the telephone pole leaned at about a 45-degree angle. And the old telephone line was hanging down almost to the ground. And the wind changed and blew the cotton-picking thing back up again. We called the telephone company and told them we had a loose telephone pole out, and they better come fix it or it's going to fall over. Of course, when they drove by, I heard it standing straight up, and they didn't pay any attention to it. They thought we were crazy. So if the wind blows the right direction, or should I say the wrong direction, the pole leans. And then when the wind changes back again, it straightens up again. It's really weird. We sure enjoyed listening to your tape. As soon as we got it, we had to figure out how to work it first. As soon as we figured out how to work it and press all the right buttons, we played your tape. And, oh, we really enjoyed it. And especially the kids singing their song and all the news. And as far as we know, Danny and them are coming up the 23rd for supper. And we'll have them say some words and some stuff and give you all the news when they're up here. Wendy's supposed to come home today, and Shannon and Ginny, I guess, are coming home Friday. Oh, by the way, today is, what, today Monday? Today's Tuesday. Boy, I lost the day there someplace. Oh, yeah, Mom just reminded me. The other day, we took a little girl from our church with us down to Wood Mall. It's a big inside department store place. But anyway, she's about 12. In fact, it just happened to be her birthday. I forgot that. She was turned 13 the day we took her. But anyway, she had never been in a big department store that had an escalator. And she stayed close to me just like my shadow. And we'd go to step on, and if she'd see me raise my foot to step on the escalator, then she'd raise her foot and step on right beside me. Stepped off just when I did, and she told me after, she says, I've never saw one of those things before. I forgot to say this when we start out, but this is Tuesday the 18th.
December. To mention this before, I thought Diane had a tape recorder, so when I mentioned it to her, she said, well, do you remember we took ours in to have it repaired, and they wanted between $40 and $45 to repair it. So she said, oh, keep it, and then they gave her $20 for it. So that meant they don't have a tape recorder. But we will take the tape down that you recorded on one side, and then, no, we won't. We will hold that tape, send it back to you, and let Alice and Mike and the children tape on the other side so that we have all of you on the one tape. You'll just never guess what we're going to have Sunday evening when Ginny and Shannon comes up, and Wendy and probably Gary and Howard and Diane. Well, we're just going to have fish. Now, isn't that something for Christmas? No. We're going to stop down at the hatchery, and when you come out, all of you, we're going to take you down and show you these beautiful, magnificent trout that swim around in this troughs or whatever they call them at a hatchery. They're a picture. And then I'm going to bake them with dressing, and that's what we'll have for our, it really won't be Christmas Eve, because Ginny and Shannon always have to go to Ginny's grandpa's that night. But we're going to have them, if the Lord willing, the 23rd. Bye-bye, sweethearts. You should know how to work this thing. I used it at the university when I first went there. And I was scared to death of the thing, just like Pappy was a while ago. He said somebody was afraid it was going to bite him. But I can't imagine him being afraid of being bit by any kind of a machine, especially years ago when that old saw bit his fingers. But I was going to tell you about some popcorn balls I made. I was standing here trying to shuffle some popcorn around in a pressure cooker, and it wouldn't pop. And Sylvia says, I smell something burning. And I said, yep, my popcorn's burning up. So then the little neighbor boys, they popped in about that time. And they said, oh, gee, we got electric popcorn popper. We'll pop you some. And they went flying home, and pretty soon they come flying back, and they had one of those great big brown shopping bags full to the top. And then they says, well, we were going to make some colored popcorn to string and put on our tree, but we ran out of popcorn. So, I gave them the bag that I had that wasn't already popped. And then I gave them some food coloring so they could color their strings. But anyway, the first batch turned out pretty good, and I said, well, I guess I better make another batch. That wasn't enough. And it was kind of sticky, and Sylvia says, I don't know why you don't stay to the same recipe both times. She says, you try something and it works, and then you always try something new. And but it set overnight, and it wasn't too sticky. It worked out. So we still got some corn, popped all ready for some more popcorn balls. So I don't know what recipe I'll try this time. While I wait for these two bozos to make up their mind about something, they always have to meditate. I wanted them to tape right away the first day when you sent the tape. Oh, no, we have to think about this. We just don't want to put any old junk on it. Well, I said, that's all we ever do around here, say a lot of junk anyhow. But when I was down at Danny's the last time, I went up in the barn, and if you don't watch, you're going to knock your noggin on a rafter that comes through there. So I bumped it as usual, and I went on upstairs, and I got her cradle that she had and Howard had gotten way back in Pennsylvania, which had come from Bucks County. And it's a very beautiful thing. I didn't know what it was made out of, but Daddy says it's mahogany and it has dovetailed corners. Now, I think little Carl will know what I mean by dovetailed. But anyhow, I brought it home, and he says, oh, what did you bring that home for? And I said, well, that's for a pattern for you to make a cradle, because he had made a cradle, and a very beautiful cradle for a lady up here in Camas. But I was pretty squeamish about the size, but I didn't say anything, because you know you don't tell Pappy anything about sizes. So he took the cradle back, and I don't know whether he's got it cleaned up yet or not. I've been lost in the snow. I haven't been able to get back to the shop for 2 days. And furthermore, he says, because I don't go back and see what he's doing, I'm not interested in what he's making. And I didn't see his beautiful sign till he put it up. So we'll take a picture of that and send it to you. But anyhow, the neighbor boy was down here Sunday, and he's got a spanking new baby, about a month old or a little more. And he's seen the cradle, and he says, I want one just like it. And Pappy says, well, I can't get the mahogany, but I'll make you one out of pine. So forthcoming is a cradle one of these days. And maybe I'll go back and see it before it's finished. Here's one for Ripley, believe it or not. Last Wednesday morning, I was working down at Shriners Tuesday night. So Wednesday morning, I decided to take the blazer to the shop and have the bumper fixed. And I goes down 1300 East, 320 West, like the address says in the telephone book for Streeter Auto Repair. So I pulls into this place where it says paint and repair and opens a pretty good-looking orange door, and I go inside and hand them my slip of paper that says I can have it repaired from the automobile insurance company, and then they take me back up to the hospital. So I call the next morning to see if my car is finished, and I can't find it in the telephone book, and I call Streeters, and they say, we don't have any blazer here that we were to repair. He says, maybe you have another company at Peck and Shaw. Try them. So I call Peck and Shaw, and they don't have it. So I've lost the blazer. Well, then by that time, I'm getting pretty upset, and I called home to tell them that I couldn't come home till I found the car. And Sylvia says, are you sure you know where you left it? And I said, sure, it's got an orange door, and it says Paint Repair Shop. So I then was kind of in a tizzy, and when I come off duty the next morning, I got ready to go downtown on the bus, and oh, man, had it snowed the night before. The snow was deep, but fortunately I had my boots, and I put my boots on, and I thought, well, I'll get the bus, and I'll go down to where I think I left it. And about that time, the superintendent of nurses come along, and she says, oh, I'll run you down home or downtown. And, of course, I was just delighted because I had made her previous arrangements to meet Diane downtown. She was picking up tickets for her students for the Nutcracker Suite. And but I was real early, and I hung around the music store for about an hour waiting for Diane, and she came, and I was very grateful. So then we went and had our lunch at what they call the China Village, and I thought, oh, Diane will enjoy this because she likes Chinese food. And it turned out she ordered egg roll, and it was so greasy she couldn't eat it. But anyway, they didn't charge us for it because we said it was too greasy to eat. So then Danny says, well, now I'll take you to where you think you left the car. So I said, yes, well, go in 3 West, and I think when I see that orange door, I'll know that's just exactly where I left that car. So we pulls up in front of this place, and she says, Mother, look at the sign over the door. It says Smith. It doesn't say Streeter. I said, oh, golly. No wonder I couldn't find it in the telephone book. So I went in, had my fingers crossed, because I was still kind of upset about it. And they said, yes, your Blazer's in here, but it doesn't have the bumper on it yet. We have to send out and get it. So I said, oh, that's another couple hours. Now what'll I do? So I went out and I told Danny, I said, well, I found the car anyway. But to go back in the meantime, when I had talked to Sylvia, I said, this is one for Ripley. She says, oh, no, that's just one of the Lucas tricks. So Danny said, I said, you take me up to State Street, and I'll get the bus and run back up to the hospital. Then when I'll call and find out when it's ready, then I'll come back down again on the bus. And she said, well, that'll take hours. I'll take you back up to the hospital. So she did. Then I waited and finally called them around 4:30, and they said it was ready. And I said, well, could they come and pick me up? And they said, no, they were too busy. So I said, oh, I'll call a taxi cab. So I called a taxi, and he soaked me $3.10 because taxi fare has gone up here in Salt Lake. But I was very fortunate to be able to call one and to have $3.10 in my purse. So I got my bumper, and I was so excited I didn't even look at it to see, or got the car, and was so excited I didn't even look at the bumper to see what it looked like, because I had to tear back up to Shriners, gathered up my junk, and try and get out home, because I don't like to come up that canyon after dark. But anyway, by that time it was pitch dark. But I got home about 8:30, and of course Pappy, he blew his top because I'd taken it to the wrong place and all this and that. But when he looked at the bumper, he said, oh, that's a beautiful job. And they didn't charge, the whole insurance covered it, which was $39, and he didn't think that it could be possible that they could do that nice a job for that amount of money. So I said, well, that's one mistake that really paid off, and now we know where to take our wrecked cars.
We've gone over your record just to see and remember what all you folks said, and we made a few notes here on questions, etc., etc. And I was wondering what Carl's word search puzzles are. Could you tell us a bit more about that? And who is the Hollis branch of the family that Carol mentioned? We don't know who those folks are. Eric wondered if we had electricity. Well, we do, but when Pappy runs his big saws down in the shop, our lights up at the house dim, and then come on again when he's through with the saw. It's real tricky. Eric mentioned Pappy's false teeth stuff made Mammy think that Pappy is going to go to the dentist this Friday, actually, after all this long, long, long time, to get his teeth fixed. We really enjoyed hearing the kids sing, but Pappy and Mir Mir and I would like to hear all of Joseph, the Joseph song from beginning to end, the whole long shebang. Well, we're getting down toward the end, and toward the end is where people say goodbye. I'm going to try a Carl bit. Here goes. I don't notice. Auf Wiedersehen, Arrivederci, Sayonara, Adios, amigos, our river, and goodbye. Little Alice, we heard that you had a flat tire when all your Girl Scouts went bicycling, and that made me remember that one day Mother and I were going to go down to Hebertown to go shopping. And we went out and got in the car, which was still in the garage, and we were just ready to back out when kapow, we had a big old flat tire on the car. And so Pappy and I had to change the tire. We'd like to have some pictures of you and your pilgrim outfit. That was a super snazzy birthday you had, going downtown to the museum and seeing the play and getting all your... Oh, yes, had a slight interruption there. You had a swell birthday going downtown and seeing the play, then coming back and having presents and all your decorations. Alice in Wonderland. We sure liked the pictures that you sent us about your birthday. They turned out real good.
These crazy cassettes, where do you get them, and what's the name, and can you get them at a, where you get film?
Hello, Dalkies and Van Hollis. This is Mother and Daddy and Sylvia. Christmas Eve, and we're going to open the gifts from out east. Woo! I just opened Carolyn's to me. It's the New Testament and Living Pictures. I've seen it at the bookstore before, and I really like it. I can take this book to Sunday school with me to work with my boys for the Sunday school lesson and show them just what the pictures of the Holy Land are like.
Hello, Alice. This is a beautiful book. I'm going to go into the future in the next half hour. I'll let you know where I come out. That's the good.
Well, Alice, you must have had a great heyday picking out all these beautiful, wonderful books. First place of all, I'm trying to save that beautiful red paper, because next year we might even have a postage stamp if we're going to have this paper crisis. And in this book, To Mother and Daddy, Love, Alice, Mike, Christmas 73, When We Were Young, Mary Earl Gould, Gould, she probably pronounced it, and I never did hear tell of her, but it must be some great book. She graduated from Wheaton Seminary, so maybe...